If it please the court, I'm here today. I represent the former senator from the 5th district, senatorial district, Robin Wright Jones, and her campaign committee. Basically, the Robin Wright Jones turned in her staff, turned in campaign finance reports from 2008 to 2011. The record clearly shows that several treasurers turned this data in. One of them, because of health reasons, could not turn in all of the information in a timely manner. However, the Missouri Ethics Commission, during its proceedings, it found that Robin Wright Jones, in 8 various counts, violated its expert witnesses, violated its rules and regulations, when in fact it was talking about the statute 105 in question and 130. So I would like to point to you Article 5, Section 18. The standard of review of the court is clearly as to whether or not the agency's actions are authorized by law in cases in which a hearing is required by law, whether the same is supported by the competent substantial evidence upon the whole record. On appeal, the circuit court review of an agency decision, this court reviews the actions of the agency, not the actions of the circuit court. That was in Log versus Kansas City. And the court, if it reverses, should consider the underlying agency decision and why it so ruled. In this particular case, Robin Wright Jones received a fine from the MEC of $279,000 for 8 alleged violations. The Administrative Hearing Commission reduced that to $229,000. We submit in our argument that Article 1, Section 31 prohibits fines that are unreasonable and fines that would chill free speech under the First Amendment to the Constitution. We believe that $229,000, when you allege 8 counts, and that when the statute itself says that the maximum for a violation is $1,000 and are double the amount in question.
And they said they doubled the $1,000 fine for each violation, and along with certain other violations, that's how it came out to that number. Do you disagree with their math?
I don't believe that the court can calculate how they came up with this. I believe when you a fair reading of the statute, when it says a maximum of $1,000 per violation, it means a maximum of $1,000 per violation. If they want to give me notice and due process, give me 129 counts. Don't pretend as if these 8 counts.
So you're saying with one, whatever the cause of the error is, one error in is treated the same as 120 errors?
I believe if you give notice, to an individual and you allege there are 8 count violations, and you're trying to prove that these 8 count violations, that there's a pattern, you remember these are reports from 2008 to 2003. So I'm saying that when the government decides we're going to hold you accountable for 8 counts, that they ought to be the ones indicating, well, the maximum violation is $1,000, and at a maximum, if to get that $1,000, we could assess double the amount. The embarrassment, I mean, this isn't a jury. This is called a fee. This is not called under the statute a fine. A fine is a sum imposed as punishment for an offense. A fine is a forfeiture or a penalty paid for an injury. Here, by filling out these forms, The expert testimony was that they filled them out incorrectly, that they refused to fill out a form called consulting services. That form was generated by the commission. So all of the errors that they're talking about, there's not intent. There's not taking money from the government. In one instance, they use the Missouri House rules that provides for office expenses for a sitting state senator, their secretary, their telephone, their expenses. They said that was not necessary for a campaign expense. I would submit that is a violation of the separation of powers. The Missouri Senate is the one that interprets the money to be spent for the senator's office rules and should not be used to then punish the senator by saying that it's personal use, that it's necessary. It's an issue of law. So I would say that Webster's dictionary definition says a fee is a fixed charge. Where is the fixed charge here? A fee is the charge for professional services. What professional services did the Missouri Ethics Commission give? But a fine is a sum to impose punishment. And the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution in U.S. versus Alief clearly says that civil penalties fall under the Eighth Amendment. And the Eighth Amendment should be argued, and it should be interpreted with Article 1, Section 31, that you cannot just come up with double the penalty when there's no mens rea, when there's no criminal offense. We're filling out like a tax return. I can see a late fee for not turning in things, but does the statute give them $229,000 worth of late fees? Or is this like the Harper case?
Counsel, should we consider that, if I understand correctly, if your client paid 10% and didn't commit other violations, then the rest of the assessed fine would be forgiven? Is that correct?
I think that's an admission. What authority does the government say, I'm punishing you with this hand?
Well, they don't say they're punishing you. You're saying it's punishing you.
I'm saying it shocks the conscience of anybody that's ever tried a case to know that a misdemeanor, what they don't prosecute as a misdemeanor, results in $229,000 in fines. Now, they call it fees, but in 1984, the famous novel, you couldn't tell what the language meant. I say that in 105 and 130, you can't tell what the language means. Let's look at what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to, the point that you make up, it would have been great if they would have gone what the statute said, that before they come up and say, we're fining you this amount of money, there was some sort of negotiation. Come back and do all these things, and we will make it $29,000. They didn't do that. If you affirm what they did, you affirm how they interpret that statute that said a maximum of $1,000 and or double the amount in question. And I'm saying that the U.S. versus Alief case, where a doctor or a professional overbilled the government $585, they fined that individual $130,000. Where is the proportionality here? What did she do? I can't find it. Finally, if you don't want to look at Webster's dictionary, Black's Law Dictionary says a fee is a charge fixed by law for services of public offices or for use of a privilege under control of the government. Does the Missouri Ethics Commission control the senator, the senator's office expenses? Is that what they're doing? I think by the back door, that's what they're doing. I think it's up to the Missouri Senate to say, if we give you this travel money, we give you this telephone money, then it can't be calculated when you're running for public office. The expert witness, the record shows that the CPA farmer, Representative Brodkowski, said that a senator runs from the time they get elected. They have to run the whole time because they have such a big district. They've got to go to fundraisers. They've got to lobby state representatives and committee people in order to get elected. It's constantly running, constantly collecting money. The individuals in this case could not determine, but the facts said that they did, what should be an expenditure, how you classify an expenditure of less than $50 or over $100. There's no question about the facts here. But we've got experts with a CPA and a master's degree in business administration that couldn't do it. The circuit judge in this case classified this fine as a fine, fee, or tax, or whatever it was. That's what Judge Dow did. So we have to leave it to the court, because this is a case of first impression. And finally, it says in Black's Law Dictionary, a fine is the sum of money paid at the end to make an end of a transaction, suit, or prosecution. Now, of course, here there was no prosecution. They could have elected to prosecute the senator. They said that for personal use, because this campaign money from the Missouri Senate was also reimbursed from her campaign expenses, they regard that as not necessary, therefore they conclude it's for personal use. But that's not what the statute says. They have to jump. They have to make a leap as to what is necessary to run a senatorial office. What happens if the state reimburses you once a month for going to and from Jefferson City? The state reimburses you once a month, but the expenses to go to Jefferson City two or three times occur right now. They occur three or four times a week, and that there's only a fixed amount that is reimbursed. Who has the burden when this occurs to say that we're going to count against a sitting senator the expenses reimbursed by the Senate under these circumstances? Isn't this the circumstance here?
Counselor, do you want to reserve the rest of your time for rebuttal, your chewing and your rebuttal time?
Thank you very much.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Joshua Devine on behalf of the Ethics Commission. Petitioner's challenge under the excessive fines clause fails for two reasons. The fees here are neither fines nor are they excessive. The U.S. Supreme Court has made it clear that a fine, or rather a monetary assessment, is a fine only if the monetary assessment is criminal or so punitive as to be effectively criminal in nature. And the U.S. Supreme Court stated in United States v. Ward that there's a strong presumption that when the legislature calls something a civil fee, then the legislature means what it says, and that that fee is, in fact, civil. So the only question here is whether Ms. Wright Jones and her committee have given sufficient evidence to this court to establish that these fees are not, in fact, what the legislature states they are. Here, the legislature stated, not only did the legislature call these fees, but the legislature also prohibited the commission from assessing these monetary fees unless the commission first determined that a referral for criminal prosecution was unwarranted. There's really no evidence in this case that these fees have some ulterior purpose of punishing senators who violate the campaign disclosure laws. There's quite a number of remedial restitutionary purposes behind this. As this court stated in Geyer, the Missouri Ethics Commission, the purpose of that commission is to gather information and promulgate that information to Missourians, to the residents of Missouri, so they can keep their elected officials accountable. Now, Ms. Ray Jones and her committee failed to disclose roughly 800 expenditures and campaign contributions, depriving the residents of Missouri of the information that they are entitled to by law. Like in the circumstance where you have an individual whose privacy is violated, a court can't turn back the clock and give that person their privacy back. The only thing you can realistically do is assess some kind of compensatory damages that try to make that person whole retrospectively. Here it's the same thing. That's all these fees do. The individuals were deprived of the information they were rightfully entitled to by law, and these fees merely seek to serve a restitutionary purpose for that violation. But even if this court were to determine that these fees are not, in fact, what the legislature says they are, but are, in fact, so punitive as to be criminal fines that are subject to the excessive fines clause, then this court should still affirm the circuit court below because these fees are not excessive. And here we have to differentiate between the federal and the state constitutions. The Missouri state constitution with this clause was interpreted several decades before the U.S. Constitution was interpreted. And in numerous cases, this court has said that where the fee is within the limits prescribed by statute, as a matter of law, the fee is not excessive. This court stated that most recently in 2010 in State v. Spilton, and at least as far back as 1927 in State v. Preslar. The federal standard is a little different. The standard there is whether the fine is so grossly disproportionate as to shock the moral sense of all reasonable persons.
So you're saying under the state constitution you could charge $1 million fee for littering and that would be okay because the statute allowed it?
So the State v. Spilton and many other cases going at least as back as 1927 state that if it is within what the legislature has prescribed, then
So you are saying the legislature can prescribe anything and get rid of the excessive fines clause? Or it would still be an issue of whether it violated the federal constitution?
There would always be the issue of whether it violated the federal constitution. In addition, this court stated in State v. Spilton that if you wanted to challenge that, the proper way to do so is to challenge as facially invalid the statute itself, not the fee that was prescribed according to that statute.
Can you remind us of how the fee was determined here?
Yes. So opposing counsel states that there's a max fee of $1,000, but that omits the remainder of that clause, which says, or the amount involved. So here we had, there were eight counts initially by the MEC. When it went to the Administrative Hearing Commission, the commission found on seven of those counts. The two counts that contributed the most to the $229,000 were counts three and counts four. The Administrative Hearing Commission determined, for example, in counts three, that there were roughly $69,000 in contributions that Ms. Ray Jones and her campaign failed to disclose. In count four, there were just shy of $150,000 in expenditures that she had failed to disclose. And those amounts were what contributed to the fee here. Again, if they had charged $1,000 for each of those amounts, then what we'd be looking at is something closer to $800,000, not the $229,000 that was assessed, and certainly not, as Judge Sith said earlier, the 10% that the Administrative Hearing Commission actually asked her to initially provide. So the standard under the federal constitution is whether it's so grossly disproportionate as to shock the moral sense of all reasonable persons, but this is well within the historical range of fines, or if this is a fine, it's well within the historical range of fines that are permissible. As the U.S. Supreme Court stated in the Browning-Ferris case, there's a 700-year history in English and American law of assessing double, treble, or quadruple damages. So you're not really implicating the excessive fines clause unless you're far beyond quadruple damages. Here, the statute authorizes only double damages, and in fact, the commission assessed far less than that.
As I understood Mr. Edwards' argument, it's that they didn't understand that they were violating the rules until after the fact, after a number of years, and that's why there was so much involved, and that should figure into how much is a reasonable fine, that it was really just one mistake they made multiple times.
Well, I think the Administrative Hearing Commission certainly adopted that argument in several respects. For example, their failure to submit addresses, for example. The Administrative Hearing Commission assessed that as one violation instead of charging $1,000 for every single one of those. And I think the Administrative Hearing Commission also took a lot of these things into account, and that's why the Administrative Hearing Commission stated, if you give us $29,000, 10% of what we assess, this can all be put behind you. But even if the Administrative Hearing Commission hadn't done that, the standard of whether this is grossly disproportionate. Even if this court thought it was disproportionate as a policy matter, as any other matter, that's not enough to satisfy the stringent Eighth Amendment standard. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court has only found one situation where in the history of 200 plus years where the Eighth Amendment was violated under the excessive fines clause. Now, we don't really think any of the other issues warrant oral arguments, so unless the court has further questions on any of the other issues, we're prepared to rest on our briefs.
Thank you. Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you. If we were dealing with a court with discretion, then you can uphold his argument. We're dealing with an administrative agency that has a constitutional standard of limitation, Article 1, Section 31. It is obvious from the amount assessed. It is obvious from the fact that the government, that there's no allegation of personal use other than the reimbursement that she had from the Missouri Senate, which required them to interpret Missouri Senate rules. I maintain that violates the clause, the supremacy clause, that each branch of government is supreme, where there is not clear and concise statutory language. You don't punish the legislative branch for the executive branch's interpretation of its rules.
Well, in this case, I mean, do you disagree that the statute that set the amount as $1,000 or the actual amount of money involved? I mean, you can see why. I mean, that's a reasonable way for this to be set up, right?
It would be good if the legislature, and then the exact.
What part of the calculation of the actual money involved do you dispute?
Anything above $1,000 per count should be in dispute. But anything that is a fine for punishment. See, here,
The question is, the statute says they can assess an amount not greater than $1,000 or double the amount involved in the violation. And you're reading out the or double the amount involved in the violation.
That's because they're reading out the maximum amount of $1,000.
It says $1,000 or double the amount.
What does or mean? I mean,
I think it's up to the court. I think it's up to the court when you see that they're using a civil fee to punish, it's obvious to punish conduct and the admission
Let me ask you the question this way. Mm-hmm. Is it reasonable or rational that the fee involved should be correlated to the amount of money undisclosed?
Well, when you say the amount of money undisclosed, in this case, everything was disclosed. It just wasn't disclosed according to the CPA and according to the expert witness. Disclosed in the manner in which the forms required. It wasn't disclosed.
Well, was it that or that it wasn't disclosed in time for the voters to take into consideration?
Even though there's a complaint of confidentiality, this is one of the major reasons that she lost the election. This was in front of the voters. Even though a complaint is supposed to be confidential, they talked about she bought some shoes or she bought all this personal stuff like she was the vice president of the United States going on a wardrobe spree. This was in the election, and this is the lack of confidentiality over this caused Senator Robin Wright Jones to lose the election. There's no doubt about it. So when you talk about before the election, I don't know who disclosed it in the Missouri Ethics Commission, who told them about the complaint or the nature of these eight counts, but it was out there. And that this is why my client is fighting, is because there's nothing in the record that shows that she used any money for personal use other than their judgment that the amount of money reimbursed by the Missouri Senate under its rules was somehow an unnecessary expense. That was their interpretation of the Missouri Senate rules. Now the rest, yes, it's true. Staff took in this money, took the name of the company, but the checks had addresses on it that they took, but that's not part of the form. The backup documentation of people that give checks with their addresses, you got to put the name, the address, the zip code on the forms. We're not disputing that. It's 1,500 pages of forms in this case, and you'll see in every form, here's where they're supposed to say their name, their address, and whatnot. Oh, here's some backup check. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything for a violation. Mens rea, intent, it's out the door. It doesn't mean anything in this particular circumstance. That's why we're saying the court can do this. And just like you're asking me, I didn't have the burden of proof to say, well, when are we going to use double the amount? When are we going to say that this amount of money that you misstated? They're saying that we misstated whether it was $50 contribution, $100 expense, that somehow they misstated the way that they were supposed to, like the failure to have a consultant on a specific form by the MEC. The consultant was like $20,000 in question.
Counselor, you're about 2.5 minutes over time, but if you want to take about 30 seconds more to wrap up your argument, please.
My final argument is that under the Black's Law Dictionary, the fine is the sum of money paid at the end to make an error of a transaction, suit, or prosecution. A fine is a sentence, a person convicted of an offense to pay a penalty or money. Even though no jury, no conviction. If you look at Webster's, the definition of Webster's dictionary, and you look at a maximum of $1,000 fine or double the amount of the assessment, it's a fine. It's not a fee. And the Missouri Constitution, Article 1, Section 31, we believe should be interpreted with the Eighth Amendment, and this case should be reversed.
Thank you.